Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
You know, when the Bills made the deal last night to move from 28 to 32, I saw a lot of, well, you always wanted to pick 32. This just isn't how we envisioned it, right? Because 32 obviously is usually the Super Bowl champion. And then like a half hour later, it's, well, they're not at 32, they're at 1. Well, this isn't, never really want to pick at 1, but I guess this is okay. What a wild swing. Oh my gosh. Welcome into the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I mean, what do you, it's just confusion, right? I think for a lot of people, it's a good way to put it. Why did you do it? What does it mean? Where do you go from here? Everything running just through everybody's heads last night. And here we had, Joe, a you know, 3-4 month buildup to the wide receiver train, to the Bills in the first round, what they're going to do. Could they do anything other than that after trading Stephon Diggs? And we walk away with, oh, they didn't take anybody. Let's do it again on Friday night. The Bills are on the clock. What was it like for you guys out at Resurgence at your draft party?
It was tense early. So in the for top 10, of course, everyone was thinking, all right, maybe we get the monster trade up. There was some rumors and there were reports about the Bills wanting to move up, maybe. And every pick was just, I truly believe, Sal, that somewhere there's a Chargers draft party in Los Angeles that, you know, might not have a ton of people at it. We saw a video of the Rams draft party on ESPN yesterday and there weren't a ton. There's a Chargers draft party somewhere that maybe did like a nice golf clap when they picked Joe Alt, the tackle. There was an eruption in Buffalo with over 250 people that we had at our party. When the Chargers took a tackle, it was like the Sabres scored a playoff goal. It was loud. People were fired up. Then the booing when Neighbors goes, the disgruntled reaction when Odunze goes. And then, yeah, later when they pick, are out on the clock at 28. And when the Chiefs logo flashed across the, at first there was already like unrest a little bit when it saw Bills trading pick. And everyone was
like,
let me
ask you this. Did you guys follow, you know how you can get, you know how you can get the pick early? Like we're in the Bills media room. There's what, 40 people in there.
Yep.
And I'll explain like how it worked, but if you want, you know what's happening before it's on TV, right? I mean, did you do that at all?
We had a good understanding from pretty much everybody that no one tip the pick beforehand, tip what's happening. We're all going to react at the same time, live together. It'll be the best way to do this. And I'm sure some people were on Twitter. There was, you know, some of that, but not much. Like, I don't think I knew what was happening until the logos flashed on the screen. So Bills trading pick, everyone's going, oh, what? And then Chiefs logo flashes across the screen, and it was, there was people were about to throw things. It was not a positive environment at all when that Chiefs logo flashed across the screen.
I can imagine, right? And the way you're describing it, maybe you guys should have had a one of those parties where you walk in the door, you got to put your phone in a bowl or something. It can't be on Twitter. We're going to have this just everybody's got to react in real time. I love that. In the media room, I give credit to my colleagues and everybody in there because although everyone pretty much was watching along on social media to know what was happening, no one really said anything unless you wanted to know. Like, for example, like I'm sitting there and I like to watch it on TV, but at the same time, you have to be prepared. If the Bills are going to make a move, you know, that's our job to be ready for that. We need to be prepared. So you're kind of watching, you know, they get to 8 and the Falcons are there and you're like, okay. And all of a sudden I just hear a couple people go, "Ooh." I'm like, wait, what? I'm thinking, did the Bills do something? So I looked at, looked at Jonathan Acosta. He was sitting next to me, Channel 2. And I go, did something happen? He goes, "Do you want to know?" That's what he said. Right. And I'm like, "Yeah, I want to know." Yes. And then they're like, "You're just going to be surprised at what the Falcons did." I'm like, "Is it involved the Bills?" No. Okay. Then it was Michael Penix. Right. Yeah. So that's how it worked for us, which is people knew. If you wanted to know, you know. And if not, you could watch TV and you could be surprised by it. But then if you do that, you kind of feel like you're behind everybody else and everybody knew what you already knew, what you were just finding out. So that was kind of interesting. And when that happened, it was kind of the same reaction, to be quite honest with you, which is, oh, the Bills are trading down. Now, in the media room, now, everybody's got their own little peek behind the curtain here. Everybody's got their own jobs to do, obviously. But it kind of does matter differently if you're TV or your radio or your print. And you know, the different deadlines and timelines and how you operate. And especially TV people. Like TV people are, the draft is on, what, ABC? So like Bove's at Channel 7. They're going to carry the draft all night before he goes back on. You know, and you got John Scott now at Channel 2 and Josh and Heather at Channel 4. And, you know, their job's to kind of react in real time and go on at certain times. So once they trade down, they're kind of, everything kind of gets thrown for a loop for them. Like what they're doing. For me, it's not as bad because it's like, I'm going to go on the air and talk with Nate and the gang no matter what. Whether they pick somebody or decide to trade, I can chime in kind of whenever I want. So it's not a big deal. But at the same time, you're prepared all night for this pick. And as soon as that happens, Joe, like you said, all this, oh my God, the Chiefs, everybody's like crazy. It's okay, Bills are trading down. We were kind of prepared for that. Then there were two reactions about the Chiefs, which are, oh my God, I can't believe they're trading with the Kansas City Chiefs. That is a vibe, right? Wow, that really takes some guts from Brandon Bean. Then the next reaction is, oh, wait a minute. We're still going to work tonight because they're going to 32. Like, they didn't trade out of the first round. They're going to have a pick here. We got to get back in. They're going to draft mode. And then later on it was, oh my God, I can't believe we waited down here all night. We're doing our jobs. We got to go on. We got to talk about this. And there's no pick. We're going to talk about what's happening tomorrow. But the ultimate kind of feeling walking out of there very late, early morning hours was, I can't believe they traded with the Kansas City Chiefs. It's the team that they're trying to beat. And it's the team that you traded with in 2017 that everyone still talks about with Patrick Mahomes and how that deal ultimately wound up. That is absolutely the storyline of the night. The storyline of the night is not the Buffalo Bills traded out of the first round. The storyline of the night is the Buffalo Bills traded with the Kansas City Chiefs to quote-unquote allow the Chiefs to move up 4 spots and grab the fastest wide receiver in the history of the NFL Combine. That is what people are talking about today. And there are so many fascinating ways that you can try and look at this. And we're going to have some clips from Brandon Bean and what he said about it last night. But really, the first thing you get to is, I can't believe it's the Chiefs, right? I mean, that's what you guys are thinking. That's what you're thinking. That's what you and Jeremy talked about a lot this morning. I just can't believe it's the Chiefs. Anybody but the Chiefs, right?
Anybody but the Chiefs. Pretty much, yeah. I mean, my biggest problem with it might be that they didn't make the Chiefs pay a premium. Like, by all the charts, this was not a very expensive move-up for Kansas City. I don't need an automatic rule that if certain teams call you, you hang up. If the Chiefs call you, you just don't even listen to them. Or if the Dolphins call you or the Jets. I don't need that. Like, Jeremy asked me earlier, like, if you're the Bengals, should you be willing to trade T. Higgins to the Bills? And my answer was the same that I would want for a lot of these situations, which is, oh no, I'll be willing to take their call. I'll be willing to trade him there, but there are certain teams that got to pay more. And usually that's in division, right? There's a story about Donovan McNabb where the Eagles didn't want to trade him to Washington, but they told Washington, like, if this is your price, Like, your price is higher than everybody else because you have to convince us to do this in our own division. Chiefs are not in the division, but that's your rival. That is the team you can't get over. And I would want, all right, we'll give you your ticket. We'll give you the guy you want. We'll let you get there and make sure you get him. But you're not just giving us the blue book value. You're not giving us the market rate. And I do feel like, given what was given up, it feels like they gave up the market rate to move back. And that's the part that just doesn't sit well with me.
Okay, this is really interesting because I want to bring something up on this and ask you a question. But let's just kind of let everybody know what we're doing today. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, he's in our Amherst studios. I'm in Studio Capaccio. I'll be down at One Bills Drive a little bit later today because the Bills are on the clock all day today, essentially. They're going to be fielding calls. We'll get into that, what lies ahead today and tonight for the Buffalo Bills. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Josh Reed from WIVB TV Channel 4 is going to join us at 10:30. Josh, he was on paternity leave for quite a while. He came back. This is what he comes back to. He comes in and goes and ready to go to work. And then, wait a minute, they didn't draft anybody. But he was down at One Bills Drive last night. We'll get his thoughts. And then Eric Wood at 11:05. I thought it was interesting. Eric actually texted me this morning about everything. And I got the sense a little bit, I don't know this, Eric was a little fired up. Like, not in a bad way. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like fired up that people are fired up. Like, wait a minute. Like, people need to understand this or that, and it's really cool because I want to get Eric's thoughts on that. So we're going to have Eric at 11:05 today here on the Extra Point Show. Okay, Joe, so totally understand totally what you just said about what they got. But it was the best deal then. They're not making a deal with another team unless it's better. So even though you say, so in your scenario, you have one of three options essentially. You either take the best deal, which is Kansas City, even though that's the only thing they're offering and, you know, the not premium, as you put it.
Yeah.
Or you take a different deal, which isn't as good. Or you just don't take a deal at all and take a guy you don't really want to take. I mean, so you're okay then. So yeah. I mean, I guess I would lay it out. Which one would you rather have then there?
I'd rather take the lesser deal. Yeah. If it's a team, if it's an NFC team, you know, like if I'm giving that player or you know, it doesn't have to be the same player, right? Someone doesn't have to be moving up for Worthy specifically, but I'm not doing business with them. If they think they've got to move up to get their guy, then I see value in that. I see value in the team that beats you every single year in the playoffs not getting the scenario they want. And let them take the risk. Let's see if Dallas wants Worthy because Jerry Jones was connected to him and loves the Texas guys. Let's see if Baltimore would do it because they've been connected to receiver. Maybe they liked Worthy. The Niners picked a receiver. So would they have done Worthy instead of Pearsall? Maybe not. Like there is, of course, a chance that the Chiefs would have got him anyway at 32. But they felt they had to go up and get him. And I would feel that there is value in the team you are competing with more directly than anybody else. You are
Would you feel differently if they took a tackle? Would you feel differently if the Chiefs took an offensive tackle or a defensive player? Does it matter that they took Worthy for this how you're laying it out?
I think so. I think definitely that being receiver exaggerates it a little bit more for me. But yeah, I don't want to do business with them unless they are going to pay me a premium. Yeah, I you're right though. Like to point out that if they trade up for a linebacker or something, I probably wouldn't feel as aggressively about it, but in principle I still would want to be in the same place, I think.
Because Brandon Bean was asked last night, did you have any clue on who they were going to take? He said no. Like they don't tell you that they don't know who they're coming up to take. He even went as far as he was asked, did you think they might take Worthy? And he's like, maybe. He said, I knew they might want a receiver. It honestly seemed to me like he did not care at all who they took. He just went with the straight deal. And that's because what he said was he was focused on. The part that he was focused on, Brandon Bean, was moving from 133 to 95, moving 38 spots. He said, that's a full round. It's more than a round. It's more than 32 picks. He said, so that's the part that he was focused on. That's the value he was looking at. And I understand the charts say that while it's not great value, and Seth Walder said it's the cheapest move up for a non-QB we've seen in a while. But to Brandon Bean, that was the part that really got him. He got over 32 picks. Okay, so I have a different issue than you do with this. I don't care about that. I don't care about who you're trading with. Brandon Bean even said they talk with teams in their division, by the way. And if it makes sense, it makes sense. I don't care who they trade with. The thing I care about is you had no number one wide receiver after you traded Stephon Diggs. They said right after that that they don't necessarily need one to be successful. And I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't sit right with me. Like, I think you kind of got to have one. I don't really love what you have right now at the top of the depth chart. The other guys, you know, you can fill in. You got some nice pieces. You go into last night, really the only guys you could even argue could be a number one receiver are the top four. And even Brian Thomas Jr. would be kind of debatable if he'd be able to walk in and be able to do that right away. So chances are you wouldn't. But, you know, if you really want one, you can try and do it. Now, it's certainly not the case. You're still walking out of here, Joe. I don't care what they do this weekend as far as the draft. Now, if they go and get a rostered player, a Debo, an Ayuk, a T. Higgins, a little different. But I don't care who they draft. They still have no number one wide receiver on this team. That's still, to me, a hole. Brandon Bean said it's not a glaring hole. I think it is. I think you have to still find your way there because no matter who you choose at wide receiver, if you do go that route and you grab two of them, let's say even tonight, they're just guys that are going to be hopefully good to play, but they fit right in with Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir and right there with that group.
Yeah. Yeah. The evaluation of receiver for them is really troubling to me. Like what this is, it's not new. This is not the first year of this. I mean, there have been the past couple of drafts where I've made the same point. The analogy I always use is the baseball one for this. Like, why does it feel like at that position, the Bills need a pitch right down the middle to swing at it? Like, why no curveball at all? Like, because when you pick that late in the first round, like, it's hard to imagine you're ever going to get the perfect pitch. And I've got other teams that, I mean, I'd be guessing on some level, but can I assume the Chiefs had a first round grade on Xavier Worthy? I mean, maybe the Niners, I could do the same thing with Ricky Pearsall, whatever. Like, these teams get to a place.
I would also add the Chiefs might have also had the Chiefs may have also felt a little bit more pressured because of the Rashee Rice situation to make sure they got a guy they had ranked higher.
But is their situation any more desperate than the Bills?
I don't know. It's a good question. Probably not. I mean, obviously they felt much better about Worthy.
Yeah, because like right? they have Marquise Brown too. Like,
yep, that's
and
true.
The Bills have Curtis Samuel, so maybe it's kind of close. But the Bills, I think, should have been feeling that type of pressure too, or acting in that way. Why do I feel like they never can get to a place where they fall in love with one of these wide receivers? Like, it's Bean drafts receiver less than any team in the league in the top 100 picks, and we know how he is. When he's got a guy, he wants to go get him. He wants to make sure he go to sleep at night with that guy. And it never appears that guy's a wide receiver. So I'm just wondering, like, what is their grading system at the position that this is happening?
Okay, well, that's a good question. That's a good question. But, I mean, if you know that he goes and gets his guy, which he's done over the last few years, he's done it a couple times. Mm-hmm. He's done it with Kyrie Elam. He's done it with Dalton Kincaid. He's done it before. Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds. If you know that he does that, and he's not willing to do it here, even to block the Kansas City Chiefs, I guess to me that tells me like he really just doesn't.
But that's
like
my
these guys.
That's my point though. Like, do the Bills have too high of a standard for what they want out of a young wide receiver?
You're right.
Because Worthy had flaws. He definitely did. The weight is a real thing, and he had a couple. Like, there's alligator arm problems with some of his drops, and takes plays off as maybe more of an overall Texas thing. I'm getting of the feeling now, but there were flaws with him. There are flaws with all of these guys, right? Brian Thomas with the stats in his first 3 years, and Mitchell's still on the board, but there's a ton with that. The shoulder, right? You mentioned that too. Like, a lot, Leggett was older and didn't do it. If he didn't have the COVID eligibility, he wouldn't even be here. Like, there are flaws with all of these guys, but I wonder, all these other teams are getting to these guys. They're getting to the pick, and it's 3 years of this where I just feel like do they have too high a standard? Again, I don't know. I don't know what their grading system is, but I would question, how is it that with all of these receivers, they didn't have one of them with a first-round grade? McConkey, you didn't have him higher than other people? You didn't have Franklin higher? Like, how is it that maybe Thomas was the last one? Maybe they had four. But I really wonder what their grading process is like at wide receiver.
Apparently they did not have, you know, first round grades on these guys because they would have taken them. We heard last week Brandon Bean say that they did not have 28 first round grades. Well, obviously that was apparent because they get the 28. they back out of that spot, and then they back entirely out of the first round. All right, let's take some phone calls here. Your reaction, 803-0550. If you are one who really is upset, angry, have angst, whatever, about the Bills trading with the Chiefs, and specifically because of Worthy and that player going to them, I'll give you the three scenarios that they could have done that would have prevented that, but it's all encompassing with the Bills really had, these are the only ways to not let the Chiefs get them. So I'll go through that in a minute. Let's first go to Walter in Toronto. Hi, Walter.
Hey, Sal, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Excellent, excellent. I don't know if you remember a couple months ago, I called and I said, you know, we really need some speed. We got to get downfield more. We got the best arm in the league. And we all kind of agreed that that's something the Bills have been inconsistent with in terms of downfield speed, you know. I remember even bringing up, well, we should try to get Tyreek Hill, and you guys corrected me and saying, you know, the Bills could never have made that trade or that deal. But and now here you got the fastest guy in the combine. I mean, that's incredible. Combine's what, 25 years old? I don't even know, to tell you the truth. Okay, fine, he's light as a feather, but man, this guy can burn. And with Allen's arm, like when I heard that fastest combine, I don't know why the Bills just don't take a chance on this guy. Like, even the other two receivers that were picked right after him too. It's like, when you go to the plate, Sal, you try to hit a home run whether the bases are loaded or empty, you know. Anyways, guys, if you don't mind, leave me on hold because I have issues with my Odyssey app in Canada. I want to hear your response. Thanks, guys.
Okay, you got it. First of all, let me answer this the way I want to do this. First of all, Walter. Why do they not take a chance? Because it's the first round and they don't just want to take a chance. I agree with you. You do take swings on guys. You'd go for the highest ceiling. So I have no problem with that. But it's not just take a chance. That's not how the draft operates. That's not how these people have jobs and careers and they do this year-long, you know, look into these prospects and analysis and interviews. They're not just going to, well, he's fast, just go take him. That's not how it works. The other thing I'll say, Walter, is yes, he is the fastest guy ever, Joe, at the history of the Combine. He's not the only fast guy in the draft, by the way.
No,
I mean, Adonai Mitchell ran a 4.34. He's still on the board. He's the third fastest wide receiver. Devontae Walker, 4.36. He's still on the board. Jacob Cowing, 4.38. He's still on the board. Anthony Gould, Ladd McConkey is sub 4.4. He's still on the board. Roman Wilson, just because he's not the fastest guy doesn't mean they can't improve their team speed going forward.
Right. I hope so. Just take 33. This could all be so much more common if we knew right now like what their plan was. We don't know though, right? Like maybe they won't take a receiver at 33.
Right.
But you're right. Like in terms of the speed element, Franklin, by the way, is someone where he did not run a super fast 40 at the combine. But if you watch his the tape guys on him at Oregon, like he's a downfield threat. So he would, I think, do that too. Even though I think he was in the 4.4 somewhere. The only one that wouldn't do that is Coleman. Like, if we leave tonight and Keon Coleman is their guy,
right,
then we'll have a real conversation, right, on our hands because they'll have their receiver, and that'll be satisfied, but then we're going to have to figure out what we want to do mentally with, well, they picked, the slowest receiver in the draft.
Let's go to Mo in New Jersey. Hi, Mo.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Thanks, Mo.
After, you know, I mean, obviously dream scenario is one of the top three receivers. We trade up, get one of those guys. And, you know, that was a pipe dream to say the least. When the Jaguars took Brian Thomas Jr., kind of took the wind out of my sails for the draft because there wasn't really anybody else that I really wanted, you know, for especially in the wide receiver position. So I don't mind the trade back. You know, I hated it last night when we traded with the Chiefs. And when you listen to Bean's reasoning, you know what, if they were going to trade with somebody and somebody else would have gotten, you know, the compensation we got. So whatever it is, I mean, taking the emotion out of it because it is the Chiefs and I really hate them. You know, I guess it's okay that we were able to move that fourth into the third, you know, round pick and get some capital. But here's my thing with everything, right? Obviously this regime does not value wide receivers that highly. And for whatever reason, you know, we haven't, you know, we spent the first round pick that we traded away for Diggs. But beyond that, like, we just do not spend draft picks on wide receivers. And it blows my mind because we have this window with Josh Allen. And if he's not going anywhere for the next at least 5, 6, 7 years minimum. we need to surround him with players that can make plays, and we are just wasting our opportunities away. Now, it's to be seen what we do with this pick tonight. You know, if we turn this pick into Brandon Ayuk somehow, I would love it, right? I would love to trade for a number one like that. But, mm-hmm. you know, as it is, as if we stay pat, like we don't trade this pick away, you know, we're going to get a guy like Adonai Mitchell or McConkie, you know, both of, you know, guys that are going to be fine. But are they true number ones? I don't know. I could be sold more easily on DeGene, you know, on defense than taking the sixth mm-hmm. or seventh best wide receiver at this point. But that's just me.
If I'm trying to talk myself into, though, like the number one, like I don't think any of these guys are likely to become number one receivers, but someone that gets drafted tonight will. Like, that's for sure. There's going to be a lot of receivers taken tonight, and someone's going to do it. I mean, I saw, I think it was one of the Buffalo Beat guys, I'll figure out who, tweeted out the list of second-round receivers in the last, like, 5 years, and there are some studs on there. A.J. Brown just became the highest-paid receiver in football yesterday, and he was a second-round pick. So it can work.
T. Higgins was a second-round pick.
T. Higgins. He was the first pick of round two.
That's right. He's the Bills are picking tonight.
Yeah, right. And Debo was a second-round pick, and he might be available mm-hmm. for trade, and he's been great for a while, so it can happen. It's why I like the double dip idea and why I'm really on edge about what they do at 33. Because I told you yesterday, Sal, or even before that, that the one outcome, the one scenario where I really like trading down is if you're going to trade down, get into the third round, and double dip at the position. And if they came out of tonight with, if they liked McConkie enough and picked him at 33, and then Franklin or Polk or Baker was around at 60, and they came out of tonight with two receivers. It doesn't even have to be the second round. A second and third, too. Like, I'm good with that. Because at that point, what I've then done is, sure, you might have two guys. Neither's that likely to become a number one. But now what are my odds if one of the two doing it? Like, my percentage odds are going up if I have two
guys. Taking more swings, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Taking more swings, throwing more darts, you know, at the board. Real quickly here, this is what Brandon Bean had to say when he was asked specifically about any hesitation of trading with Kansas City and why he didn't and why he didn't have any and did trade with the Chiefs.
We could have traded with someone else and they take somebody. Like, we had other opportunities. I would say that was the best deal for us. Take the team out of it. That was the best deal that we thought fit what we wanted to do. And the way you have to look at it, I mean, we talk to teams in our division. You know what I'm saying? It's really, to me, what's the best deal for the Bills? If we don't do a deal, in this case with Kansas City, they can go do a deal with the next team.
That's right. So when he says that, here's how it lays out for you, everybody, okay? You could be upset that they did a deal with the Kansas City and even more upset that Kansas City gets Worthy because of it. That's fine. I understand that. But from Brandon Bean's perspective, at least, what he's saying there is, okay, then there's only three ways then they could go if you don't want that to happen. Number one, the Bills could just take Worthy. But then you're taking a guy you don't think is worthy of that selection. You're just going to do it just to block your opponent, not even to make your team, you know, to do it because you want to do it. Do it because you don't want them to have him. He doesn't even fit that value, yet you do it. Number two, trade with another team. Hope they take somebody else, but you never know. Teams aren't telling you who they're trading for. And number three, use your pick on another player, DeGene, whoever it is, Leggett, and let the board fall where it goes and see what Kansas City gets. Those are the three options if you didn't want the Bills to trade with Kansas City and have them take Worthy. Because as Brandon Bean lays out there, the only true way to block them from doing it is taking Worthy yourself. The Bills weren't going to take Worthy. He just told you there that they didn't value him as highly. So the Chiefs wind up with him. Josh Reed, Channel 4 is going to join us. Stick on hold if you're there. We won't keep Josh too long. We'll get back to your phone calls as soon as we can. Want to hear from you today. We'll take Josh next, and then we're going to get to Eric Wood, 1105, your phone calls as well today here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it.
Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
On the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. The Bills on the clock tonight with the first pick of the second round. They did not make a pick last night in the first round. Josh, are we good? We have Josh Reed on the line. I think we do, right? We can go to him right now. Oh, there we go. I think we do. Yep, we can do that now, and we'll go to the Western Hotline where our buddy Josh Reed, WIVB-TV, joins us. Josh, it's Joe and Sal. I know it was a late night last night, so I appreciate you jumping on right now. But in totality, what do you kind of make of the Bills, A, trading with the Kansas City Chiefs, and then ultimately trading out of the first round?
Yeah, that is something that after a few short hours of sleep, I woke up to and thought, started going over kind of some things that recapping what all went down. And it was a lot, yet nothing at all, because they still don't have a player to show for it. I mean, I keep coming back to this. Brandon Bean felt like the Kansas City Chiefs were getting Xavier Worthy no matter what. I'm sure that he did his due diligence and, you know, probably talked to the teams behind him, between them and the Chiefs, and knew that the Chiefs were going to come up to get Xavier Worthy no matter what. And why not be the one that gets paid? And obviously they didn't have a first-round grade on Xavier Worthy. I understand why Bills fans are, you know, just, you know, rubbing their heads still, scratching their heads still this morning, wondering how you could ever do a trade with the Chiefs. But look, the Yankees and Red Sox can make trades. Guess what? I hate to tell you. The Bills and the Chiefs can make trades. I just kind of put it in a vacuum, because they trade down from 28 to 32 and now to 33. I think a big part of this puzzle is still to be determined, because now they're sitting at 33 and they may still end up with one of the several players that people would have been absolutely fine with them getting at 28.
Yeah, 33 tonight the Bills started off with. Were you satisfied with the explanation from Brandon Bean about, hey, why did you do this? Fans are a little, you know, have a lot of angst about Kansas City. Specifically, why he kind of didn't care that it's Kansas City. It's, hey, we can't block him from taking Worthy if we're not going to take him, and this was the best deal for us.
Yeah, I was perfectly fine with his explanation. Look, Brandon, everybody champions Brandon Bean for, you know, making these bold moves to trade up, right? Well, this was a bold move. This is kind of what got the Bills to where they are right now, right? Taking Josh Allen when most people thought that's a terrible decision. Well, turns out it ended up being just fine. You know, this is what he's done. He has kind of gone against the grain several different times. Don't forget, the Dalton Kincaid draft pick, you know, just a short time ago, wasn't exactly, you know, widely accepted by everyone when it was made. Why would they trade up to take a tight end there? And, you know, is he a receiver? Is he a tight end? You know the conversation that happened. And I was fine. I was fine with the explanation. And it's like, to go back again, I get it. It's the Chiefs. They're the Super Bowl champs. I still come back to, they were getting Worthy no matter what. So if you can come away with something that you want, then I'm good with it.
Were you thinking they got good value for the move down?
I do. They really valued, you know, getting into the third round. And I get it. They didn't add a pick. They slid up, a lot of spots. Yeah, to get back in the third round, that obviously was something that Brandon really wanted to do. I was fine with it, especially if Brandon and his staff are looking at that draft board, and he said it after, that they had more second-round grades than first-round grades coming into the draft. So if, you know, My guess, he didn't say as much. My guess is they had four first-round grades on receivers, right? The big three and then Brian Thomas Jr. I would project it that they had him as the first-round grade. Obviously, they didn't with Xavier Worthy or the rest of the guys. They would have took him there at 28.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe they have a half a dozen second-round grades on these receivers that are all kind of guys that they feel the same about. Well, if they pull the trigger on at 33 on one of those receivers that they valued as much or maybe even more than Xavier Worthy, then that's a huge win for Brandon Bean today for him inside that room. Now, we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, actually, we have no idea where Worthy is on their board. Worthy could be, you know, below guys they even have today they could take, right? When we don't know
he could have been receiver
what that looks like.
He could have been receiver 10 on their board. And they could be poised to pick receiver 6 on their board, 5 on their board. You know what I mean? They could be sitting there going, okay, we slid into the third round. We gave Kansas City the guy that we valued, the Bills valued at 10 as far as receiver rankings go. They may be sitting there going, that's fine. We'll slide into the third round, and we'll take the guy that we valued 4 slots ahead of him.
Okay, so I have no problem with trading with Kansas City. And, you know, if that's not where you want to take certain guys, you get better value, that's fine. The issue I have going into tonight is no matter what happens in the next 2 days, unless they trade for somebody on an existing team, they still have no number one wide receiver. Now, the only way that you would have gotten into it anyway would have been one of the top three, and maybe Brian Thomas Jr., you could argue, but after that, even Worthy's not going to be a number one wide receiver. So it was a long shot anyway. But Josh, to me, it's still a glaring hole in this roster.
Oh, very, very much so. There's no doubt. I mean, look, if they come away with, you name them, A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, you know, but to your point, really, there are probably 4 guys, in my opinion, in this draft, a wide receiver that step in day one and are the number one receiver on the team. I could probably get myself there pretty easily for Xavier Leggett. I really liked him. Kind of disappointed that they didn't pull the trigger there at 32 with him because I thought, wow, that'd be good. But then, man, with the Xavier Leggett versus Xavier Worthy, that would have been
That would have been a great thing. Yeah.
Could you imagine that? The comparisons. So, I'm with you. Look, Sal, Joe, I am not convinced that. I said it on the Buffalo Kickoff Live pre-draft show, and I tweeted it. So there's a receipt several hours before the draft started. That I thought the Bills would end up with pick 33 and trading out of the first round, and they'd end up with Carolina's pick. Now, they got there in a way that I didn't imagine, but they're there. And I also thought that there was a chance that they could then send that pick for Brandon Ayuk. Now, we're not there yet, but we're a step closer than we were yesterday, 24 hours ago. Now, they had Brandon Ayuk. Look, it doesn't even need to be pick 33. They're sitting there with a couple of second-rounders next year. You know, that's some pretty good trade assets. If you could flip, I don't know if it would take both of them to get Ayuk. All of a sudden, sitting there with Brandon Ayuk coming out of this draft and maybe still the 33rd pick in 60. You know, they could still double down on receivers. I think that Brandon Bean got past those first 4 receivers and thought, I'm better off having more darts to throw at the dartboard than just one.
Is that to sound like if they did make an Ayuk trade or something along those lines tonight, that between the 3 picks they have, that they could come away with 2 receivers?
I think that would be the ideal scenario. I mean, there are just so many. We you know, talk about it a lot, right? The grouping after those top 3, and what were there, half dozen, maybe even you get to 8. You know, when you start to throw in Franklin and Keon Coleman, I think the value guy in this from the beginning has been Jalen Polk. I really like him out of Washington. Liked him from day one.
when I went to the combine in Indianapolis, had a chance to talk to him, had a chance to really kind of watch what he does and read up on his strengths and stuff. I think he has a chance to be really good. He's not going to walk in and be wide receiver one, but I keep circling back to this. This is why you have Josh Allen. He's an elite quarterback. It's Josh Allen's job to make whoever they pick better. You know, I'm not saying he's going to be able to turn a guy who just can't play into wide receiver one, but that's the job. You take guys who are, quote unquote, a B grade, and you make them an A because you're elite. You're an elite quarterback. So, you know, a lot of that's on him. And quite frankly, Joe Brady, you know, you got to figure out the way to make these guys, fit and make them good.
Josh, we just had a call right before you came on. I'm going to tell you what the call said because I know you and I have talked about this, and I just want you to comment. The call came in and said they're wasting Josh Allen's prime. Josh Reed, go ahead.
Oh, please. Hey, go back. Go back and look and see how long it took Peyton Manning to get a Super Bowl. And at that point, I guess they were just wasting Peyton Manning. And here's my thing. If we're going to compare apples to apples, and okay, so is the standard winning a Super Bowl the wasted? Is that what we're assuming is the, you know, a career is quote unquote wasted if they don't win a Super Bowl? Because if that's the case, then we got to reexamine Jim Kelly's career. Because the last time I checked, he didn't have a Super Bowl ring. And I don't think anybody thinks his career was wasted. So I think everybody just needs to pump the brakes on wasting the career of Josh Allen. I hate it. And there are very few topics that really – I hate you for
that's
this.
That's why I asked you.
You've got my blood boiling, and I'm only on my third cup of coffee. Oh, why'd you do this to me? My parental leave is 6 weeks. I'm in a very zen-like place, and you did this to me. But look, I hate that. I hate the – they're wasting Josh Allen's career. Then what is wasted? Do they have to get to the AFC Championship game, win it four times and lose four Super Bowls for it to be a success? Like, I don't get it. If they get to one Super Bowl and win it, then it wasn't wasted. Like, where's the moving target on his career's being wasted? Because I bang my head against the wall when I hear that, because absolutely no one in their right mind would ever say Jim Kelly's career was wasted. He didn't have a Super Bowl.
Dan Marino.
Dan Marino.
Dan Fouts.
I get it. I get the frustration of wanting to get there, get to the Super Bowl and win this. I get it. I understand it. But holy smokes, the knee-jerk reaction sometimes just – I got to do some breathing exercises when I get off the phone with you.
All right. Listen, that gives you time. Tonight, obviously, more coverage on your station, Channel 4, WIVB, as well as obviously we'll carry it here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Then tomorrow, we're going to join each other, right? I'm going to be with you. Tell everybody what we got going on tomorrow.
Yeah, we got Buffalo Kickoff Live draft recap show, which at some point we're going to have players to talk about. Didn't happen day one. But at some point, we're going to have guys to actually discuss. That's coming up Sunday night, 10:30 on WNLO, and then 11:30 on Channel 4. So, yeah, that's always fun, getting the crew together to kind of break down what we saw the Bills do and didn't do, and, you know, just kind of break it all down. And, looking forward to that, as always. And then we'll be live back over there at the facility starting at 4 o'clock. We'll be in the 4 o'clock news, 5 o'clock news, 6 o'clock, all of them. And, you know, there's a billion newscasts a day, and we'll be in all of them.
I'll see you down there tonight. Go do some yoga, buddy.
Sounds good, man. I appreciate you. Good talking to you guys.
All right, you too. Josh Reed, WIVB-TV, Channel 4. I knew that. He hates that. He hates that wasting Josh Allen's career stuff when it comes up, and that was hilarious that someone called right before he came on. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We will get to Eric Wood at the top of the hour. A couple of your phone calls on the way as well here on the Extra Point Show, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on draft day number 2. All right, was hoping to grab a couple calls here. We can't right now. I apologize if you're on hold. We do want to get to them today, so stick with us. We got Eric Wood coming up after the break, but we got to hit another timeout and we will come back here and continue the reaction to the day one Bills non-draft and day two draft coming up tonight. Pick number 33 tonight when the draft starts at 7 o'clock. Of course, we'll have that right here for you on WGR Sports Radio 550. It's a Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. We roll along with another hour of your phone calls. And Eric Wood, former Bills center, current color analyst on the Bills Radio Network, up next here on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.